Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, how y'all doing? My name is Deontay Garrett, also known as Big Sir. Here on behalf of Another Chance Foundation, we want to be the voice for the community and the prisoner. We seek to stay up to date with information to share with those behind bars and the loved ones who care for them. Another Chance aims to be the bridge that keeps both parties unified. We must never neglect the prisoners of our country or forget to encourage the families in our communities that are impacted by the removal of said loved ones from their free world. We will do our absolute best to keep you all informed. And more than anything, may we stay in prayer that this too shall pass. And with that being said, I would love to open this up with a word of prayer. Father God, I'm just so grateful for you. I'm grateful for your guidance in my life. I'm thankful for this time I get to spend with Another Chance just to advocate for those who don't have a voice. We love you so much, Father God, for your protection and your healing and your guidance during this tough time amidst the COVID-19. Thank you so much for everyone that comes on to share their story with us, and may their story impact the lives of others as we seek to inform people and make people better. We love you so much, and thank you for another opportunity to do so. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, how y'all doing? It's another great night. We're supposed to have a Miss Regina Harris on tonight to talk a little bit about her son and his situation in prison currently. I know my brother is doing pretty, constant, you know, they're still on lockdown at this point and stuff like that. So, the system is kind of still going the way that it's going, but nothing big is happening, inside the federal prisons in regards to how they're handling, the coronavirus. At this point, I feel like they're just going to ride it out. Just be in prayer for everyone for sure. Miss Regina may be joining us now. Let me check.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right. Hanging in there pretty much. And you?
I'm doing well. This is Miss Harris?
Yes, it is.
Hey, so if you could just open us up with a little bit about yourself and maybe how you got connected with Another Chance while you're on here for the call tonight.
Well, my name is Regina Harris. I'm a resident of New Orleans, Louisiana, and I have a son that's housed in McCrary, Kentucky Federal Bureau of Prison in the penitentiary, and I had concerns from previous years that he was in several facilities without proper medical care. And this facility, I have made emails to several people, and I emailed the executives because I feel like I'm just wouldn't get anywhere. So I emailed the executive office, and somehow I prayed on it, and I got a contact through this. I have a name on here in my phone, the one who's giving the information that I was going to be able to call around this time to kind of like
Mr. Wanda?
Make you aware of what's going on. Yes. Well, Mr. Wanda's assistant.
Miss Anita.
Yes, Miss Anita. That's her name. I'm sorry. Thank you. But my son's been in that facility for some time, and he's been complaining of, you know, his bones are weakening, and he also have other complaints. And only thing they tell me that he's seen a doctor, nothing's wrong, but my son never complains of any kind of pain. He's one of the kids that's kind of tough. He never complains.
Yeah.
So for him to complain, and it's been on several times, I have emails where I emailed in 2017 on back, and they have it where at that facility where he's at now, I can't even go on their website. They say I have been blocked because I emailed them several times about my son's condition. And I spoke to Ms.
Wow.
Jones. She's a nurse and a unit manager, Snogris. He the one told me I had to email the executive office, and that's what I did. So I did that before, but it seems though I don't know what kind of way they doing anything, but they had me blocked. But anyway, make a long story short, I prayed on it. Somehow my prayers got answered through you guys, through Mr. Wana and Ms. Anita. So I'm just praying and hoping that he gets the help you need before anything causes long-term issues. That's all I want.
Yes, for sure. And I was telling the audience, my brother's in federal prison in Mississippi, and I know I reached out to their website, and first I got a reply, and I was asking for a compassionate release, and they told me they weren't doing that at this time, and so second I asked, so is my brother in good health standing? Can you give me any update on his health condition? And they never replied to that, so I can kind of feel your frustration there on what's going on inside the prisons for sure.
Right. And I feel as though, you know, it shouldn't get to this level because he's complaining of several other issues. And you said the nurse come down today and only thing she's seeing other people, his issue is more severe than his. So I know it's like personal, it's personal and it's just neglect, you know, and that's not right, you know. At least if they are in there, they should at least be accommodated for whatever needs, especially if it's medical and it could be serious. You know, I don't want no long-term problems with my son's condition because it's been several years he's been complaining about how he's feeling, you know. And
right.
My son suffered from bipolar. He have issues with bipolar, but they trying to make me think it's more of a mental issue than more or less than medical. And I told him straight up, I said, I know my son suffered from bipolar, but he knows how his body feels. He's a person that he'll work out and keep up, and he eats right. He's not going to eat all the different kind of foods that's no good for him. He will, you know, do it out. But the thing about it, the main thing is he's complaining of how his body feels. And I gave them those symptoms, and Ms. Jones asked me to give those symptoms. So my son, you know, finally he called Wednesday, and he said he's supposed to go to the region, but when the lady comes to him today, he said she went to the other ones, and, like, their issues is more severe than his. And it's just theirs is minor compared to his. So, you know, right now it's like, he pushing him to the side.
Wow.
And I feel as though they're doing it on behalf of, you know, my son has bipolar, he has some issues, you know, at several other places. But I brought his medical paperwork when he first was arrested down here in St. Tammany, and I thought it followed him, you know, because I brought it there and I thought everything followed him because he asked me to bring it over there to the jail because they told me they was having trouble with him. I told him he suffered from a bipolar, but they said they can't make him take the medicine. I said, I understand, but, you know, I'm trying to do what I can, you know, but this is something totally different when it's come to medical. I just want them to make sure that he'd be properly seen. He was supposed to, when he was transferred from Colorado, he was supposed to be seeing a rheumatologist. But I was starting to get some assistance, but what happened, I think they realized how long it's been and how the problem has got out of hand. So they shifted him to over there instead of, you know, because he was supposed to be seeing a rheumatologist before he got transferred from there. But I had somebody that was trying to help me at the end, but this, and she realized, she was like, oh, this has been too long. So she was like, well, I'm trying to help you, ma'am. I want you to know, because I was so upset and crying. I said, he shouldn't have to be in there like that, you know, and feeling that way. And he needs proper care. He's the type that don't even work. You know, he wasn't even stressed by no doctor, you know, because he believed in working out and stuff, but he really wants to see a doctor. And he should be accommodated. As well as any
so
other
they,
inmate.
So why are they
here.
Refusing him? Why are they refusing him care?
They keep saying nothing is wrong. They're looking at the doctor papers that they have, nothing is wrong. Well, if that's the case, the other facility had him going to a rheumatologist, which they never followed up with. So that would make it more, you know. And I reached out to Cedric Richmond's office. And I also reached out to BOP in Washington, D.C., because it's been time I wrote letters, I sent letters, and I've just been doing what I can, and I've just been praying on it. And this Miss Anita called me, and she said, Mr. Wilder told me to get in touch with you, and she informed me and gave me, she called me Friday and said she was going to give me another call Monday, which I called this morning, but I didn't know she meant tonight. So I couldn't wait till 8:01 get here, and I'm just praying that, you know, something happens.
You and me both. I definitely hope the right people get this that need to, and definitely get you in there to check on your son. Is he taking meds right now, or is he refusing them?
He's not taking any medication that I know of. I don't know. They told me, they told me once he's in the FVOP system, Ms. Jones, she told me that they over them. So all that stuff that he was out here with medical, whatever he was with his bipolar, you know, that's they over him now. So I don't have no jurisdiction in that area. So I was like, well, they didn't feel that way in St. Tammany when he was first arrested with the FVOP. They took the paperwork in. So my theory, my thinking was it follows him. That's what I thought.
Right.
Yeah.
But, has anybody, has he told you anybody tested positive where he is?
Sir?
Has anyone tested positive where he is?
Well, he did tell me that they was supposed to have masks on in there. I didn't. Well, see, they be on lockdown so much, so they wouldn't even know. They keep them on lockdown. He only called like three times a week.
Yeah.
Monday, Wednesdays, and Friday. So obviously, you know, I think he did tell me that they have a couple of them had it through there. But I told him, he said he exercised a lot, he'll work it out, but I told him just be careful, you know. It's not the COVID.
Yeah.
He don't have that, because I told him the problem is with him, he has cancer runs on my mom's side of the family and my dad. And I just want to be sure that he's not suffering from anything of that nature, that could
right.
extend long-term and cause major, major issues. You know, you saying this doctor
right.
saying nothing wrong. What kind of tests are you doing? Because at the other facility, they got his paper written. And he put in there, say, well, they tell me over and over, my son never put in sick calls. My son put in several of them. He have all his paperwork that he put in on several attempts to make sure that they get them. And he said they've been ignoring his sick calls. And I try to be sure I have something on a book where he can if they charge him to take out his account for it, you know, that would a little change they charge. But obviously, he's been ignored. I just want to make sure it's not nothing long-term severe that would cause, you know, major, major trouble.
Right. And you're able to communicate with him three times a week?
Yeah, right now. He called me on Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays.
That's good. That's good.
Did you get help with your brother?
Like I said, they never replied back to the health question. But I know they were gearing up to start letting, because he has a nonviolent charge, so they were gearing up to start letting those guys out as well if they were getting ready to get out this year. But then I think the president got involved or something like that. I remember him talking about it on one of his little daily talks, and he was saying that he was going to get involved because people were upset that they were releasing prisoners. And so I think he got involved and they shut it down. And so I don't think my brother is going to end up being released on compassionate release anyway because of that. But he was getting ready to get out in a few months anyway. So that's why I was trying to get him out of there, because I didn't want him to contract that disease and get out and want to go see our grandma or my mom or something like that and bring that out. So that's the big risk that I think people aren't really focusing on. I mean, if the guys get it there and get released, and they're going to bring it back to the communities, and then it's going to start up and spread again. So, yeah.
Right. It has interplanted the jail systems like wildflowers. So that's the scary part. But the thing is, my main concern to make sure he gets the necessary care he needs while he's housed there. And if they can't, if they won't accommodate him due to staff with just evil ways, if it's possible, I can get him transferred to another facility, you know, where people more passionate and understanding when it comes to someone, if they're going through illnesses, they'll follow proper protocol.
Absolutely. And stay at it. Stay on top of it. I mean, just keep contacting the PBE to contact. We'll do our part over here. But, I mean, just ignore the mess out of them until they give you the answer you want them to know, because, I mean, that's your son at the end of the day. Nobody's going to work like you
would
work
to
make sure he's okay.
I contacted the attorney, Hoffman. You ever heard of him?
I haven't.
Well, No, I contact him. I'm just trying to get through anything I can get to the kind of help he needs, you know?
Right. I would like you to speak to those out there that may be just incompassionate a little bit towards the prison community, just a mother who is worried about her son on the inside. Can you just kind of, I mean, tell the world what you're really feeling every day, knowing that your son isn't getting the adequate health coverage?
It makes me numb. It makes me feel, you know, this help and it has me depressed, because I really don't want to see him like that. Regardless of the crime or whatever, he don't deserve to be in there like that. I feel like I'm a helpless mother, and mm-hmm. I feel like he doesn't deserve that. I feel like the system is failing him and me both. You know, regardless mm-hmm. of the situation or what occurred, he don't deserve to be sitting there and deteriorate because someone don't care. Because he's just a prisoner to them. He's my child.
Right. Absolutely.
And the mothers that's out here, I influence them to get more into, you know, being supporting your family members, children, or whatever. Don't just turn your back on them because, you know, they're someone too, regardless if they're in jail, you know. God have forgiveness for everyone, you know, and I just want the help necessary need before it causes any more harm. Like some other prisoners that have been in there and never had family to speak up for them, just died in there like that. I'm not that kind of mother. I'm going to fight till I get justice.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, I really appreciate you being on tonight. Is there anything that you wanted to share that maybe we didn't cover up to this point?
Actually, it's just that being in the Federal Bureau of Prison system, it's really kind of hard because you really don't know who to contact because everybody pushed the buck on this one and that one and this one and that one, which I don't have a problem because I'm going to email to the very end. But, you know, you'll be sent this way, that way, that way, that way. But, you know, I'm not going to stop until I get to the head. And I don't know. My thing is, do you have an idea with Washington, D.C., their input on this? I'm trying to see, you know, they have the headquarters, you know.
Right.
I'm doing whatever necessary to try to get to the head. That's all. I need any leads there is that I'm not covering because I'm looking all over FBOP and I'm contacting everything I can in that department.
I'm going to shoot Miss Tawanda and Miss Anita an email right now.
That facility helped me block from their website, so I know it's personal. McCurry, Kentucky, had me blocked where I can't go to their website. And when I tried to email a couple of times before, they had me where I'm sending it to, like, I'm not sending it to no one. And it came back like it's no one. You know, I kept copies of it, and I have all the emails that I sent out prior to it. I just hope and pray that in the near future, no one, family members, kinfolks, and no one has to suffer or go through nothing like this.
Amen.
He said he can't
even
bend
his
knuckles. You know how you crack your knuckles? He said he can't even bend his knuckles. So I know it's a bone thing, and my mother had bones. Cancer. My dad died of cancer.
Wow.
So I just want to make sure, you know, because it's in the family on both sides. Thank you. And not just that, I just want to make sure completely he needs he needs an exam by a physician outside of the building.
Yeah.
What's the problem?
So I shot an email over to Mr. Juan and Ms. Anita to see if we got any direct contacts with anyone in the Federal Bureau of Prisons, so we can get you in contact with somebody to see about your son. If you don't mind, I would like to just take a moment to pray over him with you, and if that's okay with you.
Oh, yes, indeed. I love prayer. Because prayer answers things, you know. to the very
yes,
end thrills of. And I feel like it's, you know, it's a step in the door already. You know, someone's
absolutely
listening. So that's
absolutely.
Yeah, we sure can. My son's been neglected in
Father
that
God.
Prison. Thank you.
Father God, I'm just so grateful for Miss Harris and her heart. Lord, you've given her that heart, Father God, and that passion to take care of the young man that you placed in her care. So grateful for you and your guidance in the midst of all of this, Father God. Give her the strength to stay persistent, Father God, to persevere in the midst of a trial, to show the world that a strong woman is out there fighting for her son, Father God, fighting for his health if nobody else will. We know you fight for us, Father God, so we just pray for you to touch her son right now in Jesus' name, Father God. There's a healing that you can do that no one else can, Father God. And we pray that you interact right now, intercede, Father God, on behalf of your faithful ones. We love you so much, and we thank you, Father God, because we know that you are in control. You have great compassion for us, Father God. We are in need of your service at this moment in time, Lord. Help us to get in contact with the people we need, Father God. But we know overall who we need is you. You are the healer, Father God, and you provide anything we need for us, Father God. So we're praying for your angels, your mighty angels, to see for us, Father God, on behalf of Ms. Harris during this time. Father God, guide us in the way that we should go, Lord. Bless us, and may we always live in a way that is worthy of your gospel and your sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. In his name, I'm in agreement. Amen.
Amen.
I really
thank you
for
joining us tonight.
I tell you, just through the phone, I got a spirit anointing through the phone, like a Holy Spirit hit me. I know it's going to be
done
in his will. God is working. He's opening doors. I told my son it's been a long time because he's been suffering since 2016, but 17, 18, 19, 20, Lord Jesus, let it not be. Never too late. Please, that's all I'm asking.
Amen. Amen. Well, we will definitely be in touch with you, Ms. Harris, and I'll email you or I'll get Ms. Anita to reach out to you once we find a contact for you to email or call.
Okay, do you have my email address?
Ms. Anita has your contact information. Your email may be connected with mine, but I'm not sure. But either way, I'm in contact with you through them.
Okay, and what's your name?
My name is Deontay Garrett.
Garrett?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Okay. I really appreciate you, Mr. Garrett. It was one in a million your time. You know, your prayers kind of relieved me a lot, you know, which I pray to all the time. You know, I just trust in God's will that it will be done.
Amen.
I just hope and pray that a right horse be touched just to open and have some beautiful open hearts just to kind of relate to what's going on. It might not be the family members today, but tomorrow it could be somebody that's close to them that goes through the same thing. You know,
yes,
we can break the cycle now. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right.
You be blessed, Ms. Harris. Have a great night.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. Man, appreciate you guys for listening. Another great interview. Just shout out to Ms. Harris for being vulnerable and sharing her story about her son and what he's going through right now in the Federal Bureau of Prisons. Like I said, man, there are so many guys out there that were considered the tough guys, and even those guys are at fear, fear for their lives, fear for their health, because they don't feel like the prisons are prepared or ready for what's going on right now amidst the coronavirus and how it's impacting the prison system. So for those of you who don't really have anyone that's in prison or any connection to that, please, please, please find a heart to just pray, to just find a way to advocate for somebody, because these guys don't have a voice. These guys are being told what to do. Guys and women are being told what to do every single day, told where to go. All of them may not have family members that actually care, that are actually reaching out to them, putting money on their books. So just imagine being in a box in a cell with no resources, with no one giving you hope, with no one telling you they love you, knowing that all the while that this coronavirus could be spreading and you could be someone that died and nobody really cares and nobody really knows and nobody really knows what's going on with you because nobody's calling you or talking to you. So just imagine being in that situation. The word tells us to mourn with those who mourn. Jesus tells us to care for the prisoners and the widows. And there are so many mothers like Ms. Regina Harris who are out there fighting for their kids every single day because the father may have left or whatever it may be. And those single mothers have kept this country stronger than we know. I know I was raised by a single mother who had four kids, me being the baby, and she worked her butt off. And we struggled a lot, to say the least. But she worked her butt off. When I look back now and see what a single mother did with four kids and how she made sure we had food on the table and so many other things and some of the sacrifices that she made for us with school and work opportunities, man, it's amazing to know how much strength my mom had, as we can see Miss Regina Harris has. And there's so many mothers out there have that don't have the right resources to really give their kids all that they want to give them. So, man, I just pray right now that God blesses her and blesses her son. I thank you all for listening and calling in. I appreciate you. If you have any stories like this or you want to get contacted with any of us, please reach out. Man, I'm just amazed at what God is doing with Another Chance, and we want to be the bridge for the community and the prisoners, but really to unite and bring people together and work toward success and development and growth and development. The coronavirus will pass, and when it passes, we want to make sure we were on the side of growth in the midst of adversity. I just pray that you guys be blessed. I know God is doing great healing. He's bringing financial breakthroughs, and this too shall pass. We stand on that. We're firm in that, and we believe that. I love you guys. Be blessed.